Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Greenberg of The Athletic comes on at 3:20. That'll be some pretty neat stuff as well. Check the rock.
Hey man, that's an A-list time slot right there, 3:20 in the morning with Les Grobstein. Yeah, sadly, we lost Les Grobstein. He died yesterday at the age of 69. Yes, 69. And yes, Les would have appreciated that. Yeah, look, I am not going to try to play that cliche game of this is what Les would have wanted and this is what he wanted us to say. But he would have appreciated the fact that he died at the age of 69. Along with Rick Camp, I am Mark Grody. And it's not very nice. No, not very nice at this moment. But Grobber would have been the first to appreciate it and have five or six canned jokes in regards to that as well. Before we do bring in John Greenberg of The Athletic, I don't want to go another minute on the show without pointing out the fact that there are Les had some insurance issues. So there is a GoFundMe page up to try to raise enough money to get to properly pay for Les's funeral and to celebrate him the way he should be celebrated. So there is a GoFundMe page up. And Rick, I apologize, but do you have the deets on that page?
I'll pull it okay, up and we'll, I will we'll have find it for it. You. I will have it for you mid-conversation here with John.
Okay. And I'm sure people could find it right now by Googling it, but we'll have more details on that. And that's obviously hugely important. All right, I called John Greenberg, my writing counterpart to attempting to get to the bottom of Les Grobstein. I love talking about Les. I love talking to Les. And John Greenberg has had the same fascination with Les Grobstein that I have had. He has written about Grobber multiple times, long form at least one time. John Greenberg joins us on the Score to talk about Les Grobstein. And how are you taking this news, John?
Oh man. I mean, yeah, it's tough. You know, I couldn't sleep last night and I woke up around like 4:30 and I fell back asleep and woke up again around 8:30 to Sean's text asking if I could come on and talk about Les. So I like panicked and went to Twitter and I was hoping he just like retired or something, you know, just was like stopped working. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, listen, we're coming on the heels of our friend Jeff Dickerson passing away at 43, you know, with a young son. So, you know, this is a different kind of remembrance, I guess, and a different kind of pain, you know, Les lived, you know, he died too young at 69, but Les, man, he lived, Les lived the life of Les. Dan Bernstein and I were talking about this a couple years ago. Like Les is really like, people don't raise their kids to be Les Grobstein anymore. Let's just say that. Like Jewish parents in Chicago aren't raising their kids to be the Grobber anymore. So he's really like, you know, he was already one of a kind, like in his own era. And now he's, you know, they're just not going to make him like Les anymore.
What, John, turned you on to not just being a casual listener to Les Grobstein, but somebody who genuinely liked listening to Les to the point where you wrote long form and studied. You studied Les Grobstein. What was it about him that you took time in your career to analyze Les Grobstein?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Most athletes are boring. They're boring people, right? And you're just writing about the feats they can do. And if you catch one who's super interesting, then it becomes great. You know, you can really write about them and read about them. But, you know, I like characters, you know, and I think all writers like characters. And Les is a true character. I mean, when we say someone's a true character, like, we're not lying when we're talking about Les. I mean, he's a fascinating guy. I mean, and he was so quirky and just like, he had these great stories. And they weren't like great stories, like a traditionally great story, right? Like there wasn't going to be much of a, like, there wasn't going to be much of a payoff. Of like, you know, like they're just like stories about, you know, Les just rambling on about old Northwestern basketball players.
It's like you enjoy the road trip, you enjoy the miles along the way, but once you get to the destination, it's like, wait a minute, it's raining.
It's like, you know, that feature I did, the long feature I did, the lead was about how when the whole world was trying to, like, sit around their TV in the old monoculture days to find out who shot JR, Les was at a Rosemont Horizon soccer game. You know, like, literally, like, 90 million people watched that show.
I already know who did it. It was Patrick Duffy. He's the one that did it.
That's like Les in a nutshell. As Les's joke to me was, I folded more teams in Chicago than anyone, because he would do these like ridiculous, like roller hockey. You know?
Oh my God!
Remember the Chicago Hustle owes him $13,000. So if Doug Bruno is listening, you know, you could chip in a little bit to the funeral, Doug, because you were the coach of the and GM of the Hustle, and you owe Les a lot of money.
So I think, and in your piece, you referenced the 1997 piece from Ben Jarovsky of the Chicago Reader.
Yeah.
And one thing that really stuck with me from that piece, and even just thinking how long ago that piece was now, is just when Les was bored, sometimes he'd just get on the L just to ride around and appreciate the city. And even whether it was like any team under the sun that could possibly have the name Chicago in front of it, or just his love for the city in general and this city's sports, like, it's kind of transcended all eras of like how sports radio has functioned as well, and just like fit perfectly into what that job turned into with the overnight slot, it felt like.
Yeah, 100%. And I love listening to the overnights, you know, when I'm driving home from games, right? You know, I'm not, and my buddy Nick Friedel would actually just sit and listen in his apartment because he couldn't sleep. He was an insomniac, and he would just turn his radio on. But I'm more of a car listener, so I'm always, you know, whenever I'm late, you know, leaving the United Center or something, I immediately flip to Les, and like, I'm so excited. That was like the only thing I liked about moving to the suburbs, is like, you know, I could listen to more as I drove home from games. But there was such a purity to that show, of him just taking on these wackadoodle callers. You know, I mean, these people are like shut-ins, drunks. You know, people who could never get on the air during the day because they're just like, would just say like crazy things, and Les taking them on and taking them seriously.
Yes.
You know, taking them seriously. Like, this wasn't, he didn't do sports radio's irony, you know,
right.
This was just him talking sports, and it was really enjoyable to listen to. And just listen to him, you know, you guys have Schuster on. I used to love it when Schuster and I would be at the same game and he would call into Grobber on the way home just for something to do. And, like, I like when Schuster would joke about Les, and that's always funny. We all do that. But I really actually like the times when Schuster would call in and have, like, serious, like, discussion with Les about the old times and the games they saw.
Sure.
And, like, you know, it just kind of broke down the joke. You know, he kind of went past the wall a little bit and just talked to Les as, like, you know, as a friend and an equal. And it was fascinating. I mean, there was times – I remember once leaving the United Center parking lot, and I'm like, who is this crazy old guy talking to Les? And it was Rick Tellender. I thought it was just a crazy caller. I'm like, who is this? Oh shit, it's Rick. I'm swearing there. But so I mean, I called in, you know, I think it was just this past year, and it was this past baseball season. It was when the Cubs got like shelled by the Brewers. It was right when at the beginning of the end of the Cubs, of this, you know, of this Cubs team. And I was driving home from Milwaukee, and there was like a construction going on. So I stopped for like 45 minutes. So I just called and patched myself into Les and just talked to him for like pretty much the whole way home.
John, I appreciate you trying to get me to just yell, dump it, dump it, dump it. But, you know, by the way, for the GoFundMe, the Score Twitter account at 670, the Score has tweeted that out. It's already getting some good response, which is great to see. So if you have the ability to check that out at 670 the Score on Twitter, I've retweeted it. A lot of people have retweeted it throughout the day. So check that out for sure.
And
hey,
then
Green, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I tweeted to the Obvious Shirts guy to see if he would make a Grauber shirt to raise money for the funeral. And he said, yeah. So, that would be, how cool would that be to have a Grauber t-shirt? You know, Parkins and I talked about it years ago as a fundraiser, to have one with like a character of Les and like sticking out of a car and just saying like, I was there, and putting on his greatest hits on the back, like all the games he was at, like the Les Grauber Team World Tour.
Oh, absolutely. I would buy multiple Grauber shirts for sure. Yeah, you nailed it on a lot of things, Greenberg, in regards to how he took it seriously. I've said it now a few times. He just never lost his the territoriality that sports fans have when they're 14. It's still right there
in him. Oh,
my God,
right?
He never lost it. Like, it's still there.
Like, he's the last guy who still takes the Bears-Packers thing seriously on the
yes!
radio, right?
Yes,
like, no one else is, like, it's just a gay man. And Les is still talking about, you know, cheeseheads. And, like, the Packers literally made him angry. And
Charles Martin is dead, and that's good. Rest in peace. I mean, it was like that. Like, he made sure to remind Packers fans of how Mike Ditka beat the crap out of Forrest Gregg two Sundays a year during the 1980s. And, man, though, that's just it. Les Grobstein's overnight show was a show that you just sort of find and you happen upon. And then Bigger Pockets found them because he's got his Chicago listening audience. But then I always got the feeling, guys, that he had a ton of listeners across the border in Wisconsin who were listening to him for the entertainment 100%. And for just all things Grauber.
What if you're just like driving around the country and you get, you know, I get the Score when I'm from Steubenville, Ohio, and I get the Score at nights there when I'm home. So like, imagine just flipping, being some guy driving around and flipping through and hearing like, who is this guy?
What is this?
What's going on here?
Right. And then the next day trying to explain to people what they're, I don't know. It was some guy in Chicago and he was talking about the 69 Cubs compared to the 84 Cubs. And he mentioned something about Scott Sanderson should not even have been considered. Like, I don't even know. It's like he hits you over the head with stuff and you're like, did I hear that or no?
Yeah, right. It's like, why is this guy still playing Beavis and Butthead drops? 21. Like, he's the last guy still playing Beavis and Butthead drops, which I loved.
Yeah.
And like, I've talked to Lawrence about that when I did the story. Lawrence like helped him cut like so many of those like his drops back that he kept using for like 25 years. You know, be, like, down, down, down. Lakers are going.
Oh
down.
My God. Yep. It's and there's a great origin story to that, which we'll get into a little bit later on. But John, we got to go. One last thing, though. Grauber talked in the last 5 years or so. Every once in a while, he would discuss the potential of writing a book, and it was always a threat.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be in the book. You know, if it was something that he couldn't tell me or he couldn't share, it'll be in the. Or occasionally, when he'd get pissed off at me, oh, you just made the book, pal. So it's a book that we're never going to get. Did he ever contact you, John Greenberg, about writing that book? Oh, he did. Okay.
Oh yeah, he called me one day. He said he had something to talk to me about.
Oh wow!
It was about, and I got to be honest, I had just finished like my 50th. I think it was right after I finished the 50th anniversary piece. And transcribing Grauber quotes, typing it and transcribing
it's
it.
Spit take.
It's not good. It wasn't great. Like, I love talking to Les, but transcribing his quotes and trying to get them verbatim, you know, and do him justice was, it was a lot of work. So, you know, I was honored that he asked me to write his book. I really was. I wasn't maybe at that point super enthused about transcribing a book worth of Grauber stories, but I probably would have done it. You know, I would have thought about it. I do one last Grauber story, one of my favorites.
Of course, of course.
Okay, so this is from On the Road, the I Was There type of Grauber story. So it's 2011. Bulls are playing the Hawks. It's that Derrick Rose playoff run, you know, where they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Hawks are the first round. And they have us in some, like, auxiliary gym in the back of Phillips Arena. It's like a gym storage area. That's where we were working. And, you know, it's about probably about 11, I think, Les was setting up, you know. And me and Tom Music from the Northwest Herald are walking out. And I see the security guard, just a nice, kindly guy. And I'm like, hey, how long you got to be here for? He's like, till the last guy leaves. And then I look over at Grauber setting up a show. Uh-huh. Gonna be there till 4. And I just said, all right, man, I'll see you later.
Oh, he's a beauty, man. And but here's the thing, you say poor guy, but he's probably just fine with it.
No, I'm saying poor guy is that security guard.
Oh, the security
guard. Okay. He was like, you know, we're leaving. It's 11, probably. Oh. He's probably like, there's like two other people probably still there. Maybe one. Maybe it was just Les. And he probably thought Les was almost done. Just cutting some sound. You know, this guy can go home and go to sleep. And it's 11. Les is going to be there for about another 5 hours.
Oh, God. And then the other part out of that, too, is they got to listen to that show probably pretty clearly. And who knows what they like, because that's a story. Like the fact that they had to stay. And then, oh, and then, by the way, you should have heard some of the crap this guy was saying.
Yeah, right. Like, who is this person? Like, this guy's probably checking the credential list. Like, is this a real, like, person we let in?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, like, in the later years, like, I remember being in New Orleans for a game, probably around the same time, maybe a couple years later for a Bears game. And Les had just gotten there at the same time as me at the game at the Superdome. He had just come from the airport, flew in for that game. And then he left before the game was over to get his flight back.
Oh, my God.
Why did you come to this game? Why did you fly to New Orleans?
Yeah, that's why I've just – and, John, this has been great. You're another guy I could talk to Les about for hours and hours. I hope that you continue to write about Les, and maybe you need to put it on yourself just to write an entire book about Les Grobstein. I'm putting the pressure on you early.
Oh my God. So for, thank you. I'm writing for something right now. And then, I'd like to try to get a hold of some people to do something down the road.
That's perfect, man. We will definitely read you in The Athletic. John Greenberg, thank you so much for coming on The Score with us.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. No problem. John Greenberg from The Athletic. Keep an eye out for him and what he will write about Les Grobstein. I'm sure it will be absolutely.
Gertie, what's the over under on number of pages that if Les was the one to, like, do his book? What's the over under on pages of that? Like,
that's such
3,000.
Yeah, and to which subject are the most words dedicated? Because that is
airline miles. airline miles. Because wasn't Les a wizard of airline miles?
Yes, and maybe he will reveal his sources on that. Because I don't know. Was Les Grobstein a petty thief? I don't know. Was he a petty somewhere? Whatever's lower than that, something in that area. I mean, there are things that Les would have to reveal. No, I don't really think he was, but there was always that side that you just didn't know how he would pull certain things off. So yeah, there could be a reveal there. Look, I know that there's some people that Grauber had it out for. That would probably have some very long chapters as well. There is plenty for Les Grobstein. Yeah, 3,000 words is probably about where that would go. Still to come on this show, and that's Rick Camp. I'm Mark Grody. We are talking about Les Grobstein, and if you don't know, Les passed away yesterday at the age of 69. We don't have any details beyond that, but we are celebrating, mourning, however you want to characterize it, the life of Les Grobstein. I know that his closest friends and his family members are listening, his longtime girlfriend Kathy and his son Scott. I know that Scott was on The Score earlier, and I'll be in touch with both of them throughout the day. And we want to invite you in as well, 312-644-6767. This would probably be a good time if you'd like to to share what you're feeling about Les Grobstein. 312-644-6767. And I've just been told, too, that we will be joined very shortly by another former SCORE employee, another SCORE classic. Nick Shepkowski is right around the corner, too, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The SCORE.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags, I got one thing.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Before we let you go, Shep, another football league is going down the tubes. The AAF is being shut down. They're going to suspend operations in the next day or so. Joining teams like the World Football League way back in 1974-75, they had a team called the Chicago Fire with Virgil Carter. And it was actually fun for 1 year. Then it got terrible in 75.
Which of those have you covered? Were you XFL at all?
I was doing PA for both the Fire and the Winds. Too bad they didn't have a third year. They could have been called the Earth. Then you'd hit Earth, Wind, and Fire. But
there's that Shep laugh right there.
The best. The best laugh.
Is that you in the back, Campy?
That's Shep laughing, but then you can't not laugh when you hear Shep's laugh. It's scientifically impossible.
Yeah, it is. It's deliriousness meets being tickled. That's the sound of, right?
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Right? Delirious versus tickle. That's the hybrid which makes for just genuine laughter. And that's Rick Camp. I'm Mark Grody. We are talking about Les Grobstein, our beloved colleague and friend, a friend of Chicago radio, classic in Chicago radio. We lost him at the age of 69. Nick Shepkowski, longtime SCORE employee. Love Shep, one of my favorite people. But I got to be honest with you, Shepster, I did not know much of your interactions with and relationship with Les Grobstein.
Well, what I would always do, I'd do a lot of those 10 to midnight shows, or after, say, a Cubs game, or after sometimes Bulls games, and would be there until midnight. And Les would, like you guys have referenced a lot so far this morning, Les would like to he'd show up after he's at the United Center. And I'd always want to transition with him. Okay, well, I know he's got 5 hours to go. He's going to want to talk about something. And, of course, it would turn into, all right, I'll stay for an extra 10 minutes, 15 minutes, do a segment with Les.
Yeah, 10.
And it's like you look down at the clock and you're like, Les, I've been here for 40 minutes. Can I go home? And then, like, the cut that Sean just played coming out, that's what we would talk about was the Chicago Fire, not the soccer team, the old World Football League team, or whatever else you would talk about, or UIC hockey.
And play-by-play
for UIC hockey. Yeah, Chicago State. Any of it. Like, I didn't know these teams existed, let alone that you worked with them, Les, but he would take you down this memory lane that he was authentically authentic. And I think that's the best way to describe Les. He was 100% true to himself. And it didn't matter if it came off as strange, odd, different to any of us. He was Les, and he was great at being Les, and that was perfect.
Shep joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Shep, I need your thought on this. It was a tweet from Steve Rosenblum not long ago. Here's the deal. If John Greenberg ever writes the 10,000-word bio on the Grobbers 50 years in radio, then Mark Grody voices the audiobook in Grobber voice. Is there any better way to do this?
No, that's absolutely perfect with it. You would have to have Grobber do it. I was there in New Orleans in January 1986. You have to have Grody do that. I think that actually one of our good friends, Dave Miska, said it best in a conversation. He probably said this 10 years ago or so, but he described Les, and I remember him saying, it's like each time you see Les, it's like you've had a conversation that's been going on for 9 or 10 years, and it just continues. He's talking about the same thing that he was last time, and it's like, he was. Like, I'd see him at random places, like covering the NCAA tournament in Milwaukee. Oh, there's Grobber. And he starts talking about the Paul basketball from the 70s. And then you see him down in Indianapolis when he's covering a Big Ten tournament or Big Ten championship game. And it's like he references this back to something from the 70s or 80s that I had no idea ever happened. Like, I like to think that I have a pretty good sports knowledge of myself. And like, he would just reference things of, okay, it's still continuing. We're still going down the same path. But
well,
he loved
it's like
doing that. He had a genuine passion for it.
I call it the unnecessary wormhole that Les would take you down. He would be talking about a game, and then Bobby Mercer was on deck. And I remember Bobby Mercer is a guy who once yelled at Joe Mushel. Joe Mushel was a friend of Billy Ireland, who was the original kickball ambassador in the city of Chicago. And then you didn't know, like, none of that had to happen. We didn't have, like,
wasn't a wormhole. It was a black hole because it had gravitational pull to it. And you were forced to go down there with him.
Right, and then you'd never get back to where you were. Time's up, show's over, and nobody knows what the hell just happened.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it. Like, I think everybody has Grobber memories or moments of I was listening and whatever might have happened. Like, they're countless for me. Countless interactions with them on the air of where those would go. Conversations off the air that were a ton of fun. I know you guys alluded to that a little bit. As well, like for me, one of them was went to the Bears game in 2013 in Lambeau. I don't know if it was a Monday night or Thursday night, whatever it was. It was the one where Shea McClellan broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone, and the Bears walk out and they win that game. They had no reason winning it outside of Rodgers getting hurt. If I remember right, the Bears weren't playing particularly well. Maybe it's 2014. I don't know what year it was. Doesn't really matter. But driving home with my then girlfriend, now wife. And, like, we get all the way home from Green Bay. It's probably 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're pulling off on Ohio Street. And there's Grobber promising delivers on his promise that I'm going to sing Bear Down if the Bears win. And there he is alone. I can just picture him in the Lambeau Field press box singing Bear Down to an usher.
Like, Bear Down, Chicago Bears. You're the pride and joy of Illinois. Chicago Bears. Bear down.
And it was just one of those moments that, like, we looked at each other in the car. We're like, are we hallucinating? Did that just happen? But that was pure Grobber. And that happened, I mean, 9 times out of 10 when you turn on his show, something like that would happen.
And I think one of the maybe underrated things is that with less is that, you know, from us, especially you and I, Shep, like producing other shows, it's like you want to bring some of the stuff back without, you know, and have fun with it while being respectful to less. And the fact that, you know, because of, hey, how, as he always brings up, how he came up in radio, he's, as long as you're not being disrespectful, he is cool with it. And the fact that, you know, all of us were, let's be honest, able to get a good amount of content out of callers from Les's show or just odd occurrences that happened. Like, that's another thing that, you know, someone with more of an ego would have had so much more of an issue with than Les did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a guy that had, in a business that's full of egos, like, he had as little of one as with anyone that I've ever worked with, interacted with. It was, okay, Les, we're doing this silly bit that I remember we did like the 30th anniversary of the Bears won the Super Bowl, and he had just gotten done with his overnight at 5 or 6 a.m. And like, Les, we're gonna replay the Bears DVD from the Super Bowl, and we're going to act like you're setting a scene setter for us. And like, okay, I'll be right on there. And he gets on, and he sells it as if he's in New Orleans on January 26, 1986, setting up Super Bowl 20. And it's like, Les, do you ever sleep? Like, do you ever just want to rest? Do you ever want to just turn the phone off and get away from this at all? But he ate, slept, breathed Chicago sports. He had a love for the Bears that was clear. He had an obvious disdain for the Green Bay Packers that was crystal clear. And he was authentic. Like, you heard him speak on any of these matters, and they meant something to him, and he portrayed that to the audience. And he was great with that, and he didn't let there was no ego to get in the way, because Les didn't have an ego whatsoever. And that came off, I think, to listeners.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think you might have done a good job of answering this. I saw a great text, and I don't know if this texter knows Les or not, but the question was, how do you describe Les to somebody who is not a fan of Les? And I'm sure that they mean that somebody that doesn't really know him or listen to him. And I'm trying to think to myself, how would I describe Les Grobstein? Like, if I wanted to say, hey, if I wanted to recommend his show to somebody, why would they listen to Les Grobstein? And Nick, how would you start to answer that question? You're selling this show to somebody. What would you tell them other than you just got to listen? I mean, I don't know what to say. You just got to listen.
Yeah, that's one way. But I mean, he's kind of a guy that, like a lot of radio personalities, writing personalities, they get set in their ways, right? They have their own beliefs and their own way of kind of seeing things. And like with Grobber, it wasn't necessarily the sports side of that. Okay, I knew that if I was interacting with him or I was talking to him, if I brought up the late 80s and early 90s Pistons or Bill Laimbeer, that was going to be a hot button for him, and we're going to get a story of how Bill Laimbeer was a jerk and how much he hated those Pistons teams. But Joe Dumars was a great guy. Joe Dumars was the good one on that team, and he would share that part of it. But it wasn't so much the sports part of it. I look back and I think of like when Adam Harris was producing and doing updates for his show, unless it was back when Pluto lost its title of being a planet, and that huge debate, and Les not believing Adam trying to describe, like, well, these scientists have determined, like, these are the standards, and this is what determines being an actual planet is. Well, I don't believe them. And it's just kind of Les. It's like these scientists that have dedicated their lives to all of this and astronomy, and Les just, nope, I just forget what they say. What their opinions don't matter. I've decided Pluto's a planet, so damn it, Pluto's a planet. And it's kind of just, the man speaking about Pluto, it just kind of was symbolic for him. It didn't matter what it was. The man had an opinion, and he had his thoughts on it.
And from here to Timbuktu, right, and a lot further than that, all the way out to the planet. And yes, I said it again, and I'll repeat it, planet Pluto.
And he was right. It is a planet again.
He was right. Yeah, he was right. Like, what, a week or two ago, that news came out of...
Yep.
Of that being ruled back into being a planet there. So yeah, Grobber got it in there one last time.
It's also just like one thing I'm noticing just from social media and stuff, and you know, Shep, you and I don't necessarily have as much experience on this side of it, is just like seeing Les as at games reporting, and just how kind he, like Schuster brought up, how kind of a soul he was, and just how every member of every beat is kind of reaching out or saying something, whether it's on social media or whatever, and just being like, you know what, this, like, he was a special dude, like, always kind, always willing to help anybody. It could have been the, you know, the highest, biggest name person on a beat, or it could have been someone at a game for the first time. If Les interacted with you, he was willing to help you out. And it's just cool to see it, like, the appreciation from, like, all areas of where he's interacted in the industry.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I think you guys were talking, I know you, I heard you guys with David earlier, heard you with John Greenberg earlier, and I don't know which one of them said it, but they're like, they don't make them like Les anymore. And I mean, I would argue they didn't make them like Les before Les. Like, Les was one of a kind, and he was a guy that I know Dan McNeil has shared stories of, plenty of others have shared stories of. I mean, the first time that I actually met Les, it was, I hadn't worked his overnight show before, but it was the dead of January, cold as all get up, and I was leaving from my my night shift being a producer and go to start my car. My car won't start. And this is back when we would air Dan Patrick's replay overnight from like 1 to 4 or midnight to 3, whichever that was.
Right. So where'd he go?
Grobber would get the break, and Grobber, there he is in a Chicago winter night, being everything that that is, there's Grobber out setting up his jumper tables and getting my car started so I can drive home.
Aww,
and whatnot.
Oh, man.
My first real interaction with the man was, here we are. Back
get the jack, the jack's back
there. Whatever the heck it is out, my car won't go, and there's Grobber to lend a helping hand. But I know that countless other people have shared, okay, well, couldn't find a hotel room, and Grobber drove me around St. Louis until we found one. I know McNeil shares that story, and there's plenty of others like that out there.
Shep, it's great stuff. Love hearing your voice. Miss you very much. And yeah, I'm trying to put together the quintessential description of Les Grobstein, and so far, and you have further kept me in this direction. 13-year-old sports mentality with the knowledge and experience of a 69-year-old who has been to every game. You put that combination together, the fierce loyalty and the your team sucks and mine is great mentality of a 13-year-old, but with the expertise, and I mean that, I don't mean that ironically, the expertise and breadth of knowledge of a 69-year-old. So, Shep, very, very happy that you jumped on with us today. Love hearing your voice, brother, and we're sorry for your loss too, man.
Hey, no, I know the radio station, and not just the radio station, but the listeners, everything that encompasses, it's a family feel, and I mean, it's nice to be able to kind of come together today, and it's a sad day, but you talk about Grobber, you don't talk about him very long, and smiles come across your face. Like, that's for certain, and I think you put it well, Mark. I don't know what Les would have wanted,
right.
But I know
that
he
play
brought
that
a lot
game.
Of smiles and a lot of joy, and got like, myself, like, I think back to the restless nights of listening to Grobber at night, of trying to fall asleep, and hey, there's Grobber on. I'll listen to him for a little bit here, and it just kind of gave you peace of mind and helped you sleep. And I remember bringing my daughter home from the hospital, and the restless nights of her being up screaming and yelling and turning on Grobber, and like, okay, well, it's kind of being the soothing voice of kind of calming things down, and he'll be missed. He already is missed. Who am I kidding? He already is missed, and he can't be replaced because he was truly that one of a kind.
Nikki the Kid, thanks. A lot of people saying hello to you on the text line and saying they miss you, so we'll say the same thing, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, brother?
All right, guys. Great to hear from you. Love you guys both.
Love you, buddy.
Yep, that is the former score guy, longtime score guy, always in the family, Nick Shepkowski. And, Les, just the many, many steps and phases and faces of Les. And Nick's right, I'm not going to play the game of this is what Les would have wanted, because that's really just a selfish thing we say, because then we feel good about whatever it is that we're doing. I have no idea what the hell Les would want, but I'm going to be real, and I'm still going to do the Grobber impersonation, and, you know, in my sleep, I'll probably still antagonize Les at times. So
Les, we've completely ignored the clock.
Well, and guess what? We're gonna take that break, and when we come, we got a couple guys lined up. Dan Bernstein is gonna jump on. I can't wait to talk to Bernsey. Hub Arkish will be on with us. He'll talk about Grobber and the Bears. We'll give you a little bit of a Bears treat, because you know what? Grauber would have wanted it that way. It's Mark Grody and Rick Camp on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Pour some sugar on all of us here, I guess. Great song.
This has banned me for a million years.
Yeah, and you know what? If you've been banned for a million years, that's it. You're not getting... there will be no forgiveness. No early exit for you, sir. As we welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We lost Les Grobstein. Les Grobstein died yesterday at the age of 69. We don't know what caused it, but it was sudden. He had missed a couple of days of work this week. There was some concern over Les. I had tried to call him earlier this week, unfortunately to no avail. And as I said earlier, it's probably the only time that Les Grobstein has not picked up the phone when I've called, which is just astounding considering the hours that Les has worked his entire life. And that there are times when I almost want the voicemail. It's like 9:30 at night. There's no way Les is up right now, right? Hello, what do you need, Mark? So yeah, that's our Grauber, and we continue to celebrate. And this has been, honestly, this has been fun to talk about Les, because Les is fantastic, Rick.
Yeah, it's therapy for all of us, and just getting to do this.
It is, and we want to bring in our next guest, because our next guest is Larry Mayer, ChicagoBears.com, longtime Chicago media guy, but the Bears have been his specialty for some time now, and we got some time here for Larry Mayer to jump on. And Larry, I understand you got a good Grauber story you want to share with us.
Absolutely, guys, and thanks for having me on. And I'd like to say condolences to all of Les's friends and family that are listening. And when you say he was a true original, I mean, there was absolutely no one like him, as you guys know. And I think Nick said it best. They never did make him like Les. And I grew up listening to him, especially when he was on with Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer in those years. And so it's my first year covering the Bears. I was with the Chicago Bear Report newspaper in 1992. Bears are playing in Minnesota. I'm in the rental car line waiting for a car. Les is right in front of me. We strike up a conversation. I was very excited to meet him. He asked me if I was staying at the team hotel. I said, yes. He said, well, how about if I just give you a ride and you won't have to rent a car? I'm like, oh, that sounds great. You know, my boss would love that. So we did that. We turned out to have an in-depth discussion, I don't even know why I remember this, about Montreal Expos catcher John Bacabella on the way to the hotel. Because I had mentioned something about the way the PA announcer had mentioned his name, and Les proceeded to give me a story about 10 minutes about John Bacabella's entire career. So that was great. But that's not even the story. The next day in the press box, as you guys know, in the old crappy Metrodome, you know, in an indoor stadium, the press box is open to the fans. So the guy's singing the national anthem, so it is dead silent in the press box. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. And this guy is belting out the national anthem with his deep voice. He sounds just like Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun, if you can imagine what I'm talking about. Okay, so again, so quiet. Les, my new best friend, walks over to me, points down to the guy, in the loudest voice you could ever imagine, says, look, it's Enrico Palazzo. And I knew the entire press box. There must have been 100 writers, and they all looked, and they thought I was the one who yelled it. So everyone's looking at me, the fans, because they could hear it too, because like I said, it's an open – they're all looking up back at me, and I'm just like, you know, as red as can be. But it was – that's just pure lust. He was just being funny in the moment, and it was great. And again, it was such a thrill to meet him because I listened to him for so long.
Amen, man. Yeah, same with me, Larry. I mean, that's kind of how I started the show today. I was like, I used to show off to my brothers, hey, man, I can call Les Grobstein. And we would call him, and I'd put him on speaker, and we'd just be like, hey, Les, what'd you think about the Cubs? And my brothers would be like, yeah, we got Grauber on the line. So that is the effect that Les had on a group of a certain age of us, for sure. And Larry, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. And I think the fans and the listeners also need to know that you do the absolute best Les Grobstein impression. And I know you've done it on the air, but I hope you continue to do it. And I would always enjoy walking into the Bears press room at Hallis Hall and saying, hey, Granny. And, of course, I would be asking about what does Les think about the and then without skipping a beat, Grody would just go right into his Les impersonation.
He's overrated. Overrated. A lot of people think that just because he won the World Series. No, there's a lot of better managers.
Exactly. Keep doing that impression. It's awesome.
I promise you. Great. I promise you I will. Thank you so much, Larry Mayer, Bears.com. He writes great stuff. Read him over there. And I'm glad he brought up the Expos. Les, for some reason, had a fetish with the old Montreal Expos, and they were great. But he loved the Gary Carter and Tim Wallach and Ellis Vallant. He loved those old Montreal Expos. All right, we are going to take a break. Here's what I'm being told. I'm being told that Dan Bernstein will be joining us next. And Dan Bernstein, hopefully he'll have an answer to the question of describe the why of Les Grobstein. Why was he what he was? Because I've only gotten so far on that.
I'm worried about. I'm just thinking about how Dan's going to take the fun out of Les.
He'll make it like a real eulogy. That's right. What he'll do. I'm looking forward to the descriptions of Dan Bernstein as it pertains to Les Grobstein. Next, that is Rick Camp. I am Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Dan Bernstein, you're a bum!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.